Don't spend another winter with your home colder than it should be. Hi, I'm Roy Spencer with PermaSeal. We measure the amount of heat loss and recommend solutions to keep it comfortable. Call PermaSeal for your free estimate, 800-421-SEAL, or visit permaseal.net.
And here we go, back at it, episode 16 of the Blackhawks Crazy Podcast here on WGNRadio.com, broadcasting live from the WGN Radio studios of high atop the Tribune Tower on the beautiful Mag Mile. The seventh floor is where we preside in the old Cap and Haw Studios. Studio A is what it's called now here at WGN Radio Studios. I am Mike Jacobson from WGN Radio, executive sports producer here, and a variety of other hats. My man to my right, Scott King from the Red Eye, a publication that we all know, read, and love. Happy hump day to you, sir.
Happy hump day. Good afternoon. And I do like coming to the studio. There is a lot of history. First the Cap and Haw show, now Blackhawks Crazy.
That's right.
They stop on the tours of the Tribune building. They stop and point to the studio.
See, when it was Cap and Haw, though, we had all these different signed autographed jerseys up, you know, from Pat Fitzgerald and Walter Payton.
It was like an eighth of what Dan Patrick has.
Exactly.
That's like a Chili's or a TGI Fridays in Dan Patrick's studio.
Yeah,
terrible.
Yeah, exactly. We had like three cameras.
I love the Cap and Haw show.
And awful lighting, which we still have here right now, awful lighting.
Yeah, so we have shadows on our faces talking to you folks.
So there we go. So the Blackhawks Crazy Podcast took over Cap and Haw, and this is the 16th time we've taken them
over
now.
Happy to do so.
And it's always a lot of fun. We do this each and every Wednesday, usually. Sometimes it gets changed around, but once a week you get to hear us talk Blackhawks. So for the second time in three games for the Blackhawks, a disallowed goal and some controversy surrounding those goals and goalie interference and what is the real rule and why weren't these not allowed. We saw Joe Quenneville go pretty crazy in Arizona on Thursday, I think it was, this past Thursday or Friday,
right.
Whenever it was, but when they were in Arizona. And this was before they played Dallas. He went crazy when the Hossa goal was disallowed. And he broke a stick. And he was yelling very, very loudly at the referee. And deservingly so, in my opinion. And then we had it again last night on the Rasmussen interference call.
Yep.
The goal gets disallowed. They end up losing 2-0 to the Sharks regardless. But Joe Quenneville has a little press conference, as he always does, after the game. Didn't last very long, it turns out.
No, he addressed it right away.
It was asked by Tracy Myers, who always gets the first question in for the press conference.
For CSN,
follow the game. And he asked about that goal that disallowed, and this is the whole press conference right here.
Yeah, it's gotten to a different level. I don't know the rules anymore, or something's changed, because, my understanding, played a lot of hockey, that I don't know. I mean, I think everybody has an interpretation of what's a good goal and what's a bad goal, but I can't believe it.
Well, Joel was a little upset. It was a 21-second press conference, 48 words, and he walked off. He had a walk-off. He had a drop-the-mic moment. Now, he literally didn't drop the mic, but he had a drop-the-mic moment, and in my opinion, he was smart because I think he was getting close to saying something where he might have been a little less in the wallet, as they say.
Yeah, you're exactly right. I think you said before the show, David Haw mentioned it in his column today. He wasn't screaming at the press conference.
He showed constraint.
He was talking about it. Probably looked a little bit angry. Then he just put his hands up and says, "I can't believe it," and walked away. And the interesting thing is
he was calmer there than he was in Arizona.
That's
when
exactly
he was
what I was
going
to say.
Insane.
He got an unsportsmanlike conduct.
It was nuts
for dropping some QF bombs. But he's more active on the bench. This was a measure he took to show that, look, like I don't know what you guys are going to do with this. I can't even talk about this or I'm going to get in trouble. Something needs to be done. This is, like you said, the second time in three games. And it was the most effective way he could have handled it without getting in trouble.
No question about it. And just for fun, by the way, let's travel back in time here to Arizona. I've got the call from our very own John Weideman and Troy Murray here on WGN Radio. And Troy's reaction to this when the goal was disallowed, Hossa's goal in Arizona, was fantastic. Take a listen.
They're going back over there, so maybe now they're going to take another look at this. Looks like there's going to be the challenge.
Mark John at the referee.
After review, it was determined that there was contact with the goaltender.
Well, you hear the boos here in Arizona.
Look at Joe Quenneville. Look at Joe Quenneville. He has grabbed one of the player's sticks, and he is slamming it against the dasher board.
look at Joel Quenneville. Look at Joel Quenneville. It was so great. Troy, and then like me, when I was actually producing that game here back in the studio with Judd Surratt, our pre- and post-game host, and what's great is I get to hear what they talk about during the break that nobody else gets to hear, yeah. John and Troy. They were not happy with the officials that whole entire game. So this was boiling with the Blackhawks. And then when basically the same thing happens last night with Rasmussen, it's one of these rules, the goalie interference rule. I was talking to you before the show. It reminds me of the what is a real catch rule in football. Because that was what I love about that, too. Like, what is a catch? Nobody seems to know anymore because there's totally million different interpretations of, all right, did he have full control, this and that. And then it was in the spotlight during the Super Bowl, during the Cotchery catch.
Right.
I think it was Cotchery, whoever it was, it clearly to me looked like a catch. Mike Carey on the CBS call thought it was a catch, and then it got overturned. So to me, that put it in the spotlight. So maybe this goalie interference rule needs to be on it like a national stage where more people see it and they say, what's going on with this? Like,
because
if you look at it, and not even being a Blackhawks fan, if you're just a, you know, let's say you're a Boston Bruins fan and you're watching that game last night, how could you say that wasn't a goal?
You're just going to keep
or
seeing.
Or in Arizona, I think the Hossa goal was
way worse. That was totally a goal. You can say last night Rasmussen maybe just skated a tad bit after he got bumped, but that goal probably should have still counted. So I understand Quenneville being as upset with it happening two in the last three games. His reaction and the way he handled it at the press conference is drawing attention to it. It is a problem, and you're going to see more coaches get upset by it until they fix it. So they're going to have to address it at some point. The sooner the better.
So what we wanted to get into, you know, for you, those of you listening, exactly what this goalie interference rule is. We want to kind of get into exactly where, you know, when it gets reviewed back in Toronto, who gets the ultimate say in the end, for those who may not know. Also wanted to incorporate a coach's challenge in there, too, because that's what happened in Arizona. So Scott King, my man, has all the literature right in front of him. So his beautiful voice is going to explain exactly what this is.
Thank you.
We experience these past two weird disallowed goals.
Yeah, I have the official rulings here, and these are the new rules, the new stances from the Board of Governors meeting right before the season. This is clause number two. The standard for overturning the call in the event of a no-go call on the ice is that the referee, after reviewing any and all replays and consulting with the Toronto video room, determines that the goal on the ice should have been allowed because either, one, there was no actual contact of any kind initiated by the attacking player with the goalkeeper, and that's not what we're talking about now. It's the second one. Or two, the attacking player was pushed, shoved, or fouled by a defending player, causing the attacking player to come into contact with the goalkeeper. That's what happened here in both cases. Three is not really pertaining to this. But then here's something on the video review. The video review process on these plays, whether initiated by way of a coach's challenge or by hockey operations in the final minute of play or in overtime, will be utilized exclusively for purposes of confirming or overturning a goal or no-goal call on the ice on scoring plays, potentially involving interference on the goalkeeper. The video review process on these plays, regardless of its outcome, will not be utilized for any other purpose, including specifically for assessing minor or major penalties for goalkeeper interference.
So.
It's a lot of words, I just said.
It's a lot of words right there. So what does it come down to?
Oh, God. I
think that's what everybody kind of says.
It's just it's so much language. Basically, it's the problem is that there's not a precedent, or the referees, the on-ice officials don't understand the precedent, and it's too subjective right now. It's just like when you lose sight of the whistle. That's a good example.
It's like the catch rule.
In football, the catch rule, I think
everybody
it's like
has a different interpretation, apparently.
Yeah.
Why can't we just have one freaking rule that, like, I mean, and there was a lot of language that you read there. It's so subjective. That's the best way to put it. So
yeah,
it's one of those that I think it needs to be addressed by the NHL at some point in the offseason here, because, I mean, it's happened to, you know, your Stanley Cup champions three of the past 6 years now, and it's happened to them twice in the past three games. And it's been pretty blatant. I mean, Q's press conference was one of the leads on SportsCenter last night. It was like, 5 minutes into the West Coast SportsCenter last night.
He's mad as hell, and he's not going to take it anymore.
Yeah, I mean, and Barry Melrose was talking about it, and he thought it was a goal, too. Now, I don't really take Barry's opinion that seriously most
You're
of the time.
Smart man.
Plus, I've met Barry before, and I'm not a big fan. Kind of a jerk. You want to just throw
got
it out
an exclusive
there?
Here.
Yeah.
Mike's got a beef. I love it.
Well, I'll tell you why I don't like him real quick.
Let's do it.
So I'm covering the Stadium Series game at Dodger Stadium between the Ducks and Sharks. And ESPN's got their little perch out in left field. I happen to be on the field at the time. I go up to him. And we are an ESPN affiliate, this my old station that I used to work with, we're the flagship of the Ducks. I say, hey, man, I'd love to have 10 minutes of your time. You know, not even. I said, he's like, nah. He's like, no. And I'm like, oh, just quick 5 minutes, and I'll just ask you a couple of questions. I'll edit it. He's like, nah. He's like, where are you from? I'm like, oh, we're the flagship of the Ducks. I'd rather do the Kings. I said, okay.
Oh, all right.
Like, you're a nice guy.
Playing favorites.
Yeah.
If you're a hockey commentator, you're just a hockey commentator.
Much fatter in person, too, by the
really?
Way. Yes.
It was just that day he did a lot of eating.
Yeah,
out
he
there.
Was just he was just a jerk. Like, it's like he had no time for me. Like, I was nobody. And I'm gonna do the Kings, not the Ducks. Like, okay, just relax, buddy. A simple no, I can't do it. Sorry.
And you know, from doing this for a long time, whether it's hockey or other sports, then there's those guys who know that. Okay, yeah, I am a correspondent. I do talk about sports for a living. So, like Jeremy Roenick, I wanted to interview him for a story. He texted me his cell phone number. He's like, call me whenever you want tomorrow.
Yeah.
So some guys handle it differently.
Yeah, exactly.
Most of them do.
So. Before we totally get off the rails here, I just had to get that off
my
chest.
I love a good story like that.
Barry Melrose is kind of an ass. So, Blackhawks Crazy
Exclusive.
Podcast. I'm Mike Jacobson, WGN Radio. He is Scott King from the Red Eye. So, a few more things from last night, getting past the disallowed goal and Joel Quenneville almost blowing a gasket. We were all, without Panarin last night. He has an illness, and we've talked about this illness. Sakoch got sick. Obviously, Jonathan Toews was sick as
Panic.
Well. Panic got
Panic
sick.
Too, yeah.
I think Panic was also hungover when he missed it.
He also needed a new alarm clock.
Yeah. But no, so Panarin, the bread man, comes down with a little flu or whatever the case may be, some sort of illness, so he misses yesterday. They still got 33 shots on goal.
They did.
The Blackhawks, but actually, Marian Hossa talked about it after the game last night that they did miss the bread man, and that one guy doesn't make a complete difference, but his absence was significant.
Well, definitely. Obviously, he's such a high-level, high-skill offensive player. So, definitely he's one of the top young players to watch, to have in a lineup. So, it's not always about one guy, but definitely he can make a difference.
So the Blackhawks, they get shut out last night, disallowed goal. No goals after that. Corey Crawford, his 98-minute home streak comes to an end. The Marleau redirect.
Streak, yeah.
But he still didn't play bad, I wouldn't say.
He only had one goal, and they were getting outplayed the whole game.
The whole team just seemed out of sync.
They didn't have, you said 33 shots, it's good, but they weren't generating the quality chances they usually do. They didn't quite have the speed they usually do.
Taves had one really early in the first period, I remember, that I thought, okay, that one. But
there were some good chances, but not the ones you usually see them get. They've had in that streak and right after.
They didn't, the Sharks pretty much outplayed them the entire game. They had more energy.
They came out the way you got to play the Blackhawks.
They had more energy.
Tight checking.
And a lot of people say,
a few mistakes.
Now, this is their first game, the Blackhawks, since January 24th at the United Center, because you had the All-Star break, and then they were on the road for three straight games. So they had not been – and then they were on the road right before the All-Star break. So you're talking, January 24th to – and last night was February 9th. That's a long time to be away.
And look,
you're talking 16 games there.
I think last night a lot of it was being without Panarin, because you haven't been without him yet. That's – there's so many ways that he makes plays and creates momentum. He's on the power play. I think sometimes he's even on the penalty kill. He's done so much. He's had that – Kane-like skill. He's created great plays, great chances with Kane. So not only was that line hurting, and Tavo was fine. He led that line with four shots.
Yeah.
He was fine. Tavo's been great. Quenneville can go to him for anything. I've been referring to him as a utility forward in some of my stories because he's doing whatever Quenneville asks him to do, and he's playing really solid, but he's not the same caliber of player as Panarin. And look at all the things he's done with Kane this year. They definitely missed that.
Yeah. So we'll see if he gets on the ice tomorrow. Obviously, we do not know yet if he will be on the ice
Thursday against the Stars because Joel Quenneville ended his presser a little bit early, so didn't have a chance to ask him. Plus, they did not have a morning skate today. Day, a well-deserved day off for them. So they get back at it tomorrow against the Stars, who they absolutely clobbered on Saturday. I mean, a 5-1 beatdown in Dallas.
Anisimov has a 4-point night in Dallas in that victory.
Turns out that part of the trade turned out pretty good.
I think it's pretty good.
And he had
those first 3 points he had were without Kane. Too,
yeah.
Kane got on the board. They just solid. And Kane talked about him recently, I know. I think when I was at practice 2 days ago, just his two-way game is ridiculous. The way he crashes the net is ridiculous. And I think one of the fans asked about his face-off percentage. I'll get to that later, too.
So the Sharpie and the boys come back in, and they're a dangerous team. Now, they really peaked early in the season. Then they kind of struggled a little bit, but then they've won 4 out of their last 5, I think it is.
Yes, they did.
Something like that.
Yeah.
So
4 out of 5.
You know, before Saturday, correct?
Right.
So they were actually looking pretty hot heading into that. So, I mean, they got Ben, they got Sharp, they have some dangerous people on that team. That's a quick team, too.
It is quick. They remind me a lot of Nashville last year. They have a great start. They still look pretty solid throughout the year, even when they let up a little bit. But they have speed. They have guys who can make plays, who can crash the net. I think they win a lot of faceoffs. And they're going to be looking for revenge come Thursday.
And I wanted to mention this, too, really quick. You know, kind of going back to that Arizona game, it's unbelievable what Taves does on those 3-on-3s. I mean, he has 5 overtime winners already.
Leading the league.
5 overtime winners. That's insane to me. It's really impressive.
And that was a good finish that Arizona game, too, where Hossa's goal was
taken
30 away.
Well, the goal gets taken away, then he ends up getting a goal.
And then he was
basically taunting the ref. Oh, that, he's like, does that? He was.
I've never seen Hossa that fired up.
Yeah.
He literally was
like taunting. He's like, does that one count?
I said on Twitter. I think I said that he was doing some Q speak, using some Q language there.
Yeah,
so with a certain letter word.
But you know, at the same time, that really got everybody jacked up.
And that was a chippy game. There were some hard hits.
What
almost
is it with
some
Arizona?
Scraps.
Remember they had the 7-5 game prior to that 12 game.
Yeah,
the 12 goal game.
Yeah, yeah.
And then it ends up being a wild one. Down in the desert again.
We're all over the place.
That was a lot of fun, that game. There's a lot of controversial calls, not even just the disallowed goal. There was a lot of chippiness, like you said. So that was it. You wanted to get into that percentage, right, that you just mentioned? I can't remember. What was
for Anisimov?
Yeah.
Someone asked about it in the questions. But I have more there. It's just
we can get into it later.
I'll do it later.
Yeah, we'll get into it later. No big deal. So we got the Dallas Stars. You know, here's the thing. Just try to, you know, a little, you know, behind the scenes how the sausage is made. I'm trying to talk, and my computer constantly keeps freezing up. So what I'm trying to do is get our outline back up that we follow in order to make a nice, organized podcast each and every week.
To bring you guys the goods.
But
we have to structure
here's
it in
the
a
thing,
certain way.
It's not working out so well right now, and it's really bothering me.
So you made up an NHL team because...
Yeah, so I made up an NHL
the Dallas
team.
Dallas Sharks.
They're going to be the Las Vegas Sharks eventually because supposedly Las Vegas is still in the mix to get a team.
With
I
their
don't
goalie,
know that,
Burt Reynolds.
But this is a good story and a nice...
Please tell me you have a Burt Reynolds story. I'll listen to you for the rest of the show.
Reynolds story. I was actually going to go with Scott Darling.
I would prefer that.
But I do like Burt Reynolds. I thought he was great in Boogie Nights. That was one of his most underrated roles.
That's a good movie.
Loved Boogie Nights.
And Norm MacDonald's impression of him is second to none.
It is really good.
Yes.
It is really good. Those Jeopardy skits. Man, that's when SNL was...
That's good writing,
That was like the end of like a really good era in SNL when Will Ferrell was still there. I mean, the 90s is when I grew up, so when Sandler and Farley and Spade...
I argue that cast was better than the original cast of SNL.
Yeah.
The Farley,
I mean,
Spade, Sandler.
Phil Hartman was fantastic.
He was the greatest cast member of all time.
He
could do anything.
Too young, man. Too young.
We should start an SNL podcast. Seriously, I've read books on SNL. I'm an SNL historian.
There we go.
We'll do a secondary spinoff SNL podcast.
Maybe we'll do that. But you know, going from Phil Hartman, which was a terrible story, but great.
Now
comedian.
We got a good story.
Now we have a very good, warming,
uplifting story.
And one of those that kind of does give you goosebumps. So. In Arizona, wow, we've been talking a lot about Arizona. While in Arizona, Scott Darling, he is your backup goalie for your Chicago Blackhawks, as many of you know, did a very nice deed for a homeless fellow. And essentially the gist of the story is this guy came to him looking for money, you know, just you know, like, hey, can I get a few dollars? And Darling ends up putting him up in a hotel for a month.
Yeah.
And I mean, that's a lot more than just giving, you know, the change from your Starbucks that just got and dropping, you know, 15 cents into a cup.
Right.
I mean, you're talking a month. I don't care if it's a Motel 6 or whatever it is. I mean, that's a nice deal.
It adds up. And yeah. We were talking before the show trying to figure out, like, not only on a money standpoint how he made this happen, but Darling's there playing with the team, backing up Crawford for one day. How does he set up that this guy, you know, has a place to stay for a month? And also the story said that he got him groceries. I don't know if it's for the whole time, for at least for like the first couple weeks of that month. So incredibly nice thing to say. And when I was at practice, he talked about it. And just because, you know, he overcame alcoholism and he knows what it is to be down your luck.
Down and out.
And he said that he has a soft spot for those guys when he sees that. So just incredibly nice gesture. And I think something that I thought of too is that he doesn't have Corey Crawford money. He makes a very good living. He's on a great team. But, you know, you don't really hear about guys that make a ton of money doing this kind of thing on a regular basis. So I thought it was very, very good nature to him and really special. And, you know, maybe he'll get some good karma out of it.
Yeah, I mean, he said, you know, he has a soft spot for the people that are down on their luck like that. I mean, he's been sober nearly 5 years now.
Yeah, and what a great story he is, too. Not only
played for 10 professional teams.
He lists them all in the hat trick movie. It's pretty funny.
That's crazy.
They all have crazy names.
Minor league hockey names are any sort, like, if it's not in the NHL, they're always good.
There should be a good trivia game with NHL, AHL names.
A hockey team or not a hockey team?
Yeah.
So that was a really cool story.
Be a Jimmy Fallon bit.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, it really could be. But no, I just thought that was a really good story. And, you know, he's just gone through a lot personally. I mean, you know, his mom, too, with cancer.
Yes.
And I mean, he's gone through a lot in his life, and he seems like he's finally in a good place, not only professionally but personally too. And the way that he's able to just pay it back like that,
very cool.
I think it's pretty cool. And that was something that somebody just found out. It's not like it was kind of one of those random things.
He didn't even answer a question about it. Really, he didn't put this out there. Someone on Twitter had kind of pasted a story about they heard from an Uber driver that he did this.
Yeah, from an Uber driver.
And that
that's
Uber
right.
driver wound up becoming a hockey fan because of it.
Yeah.
So a lot of good stuff from that story. And he basically just confirmed it on Twitter when that person attached him to it. He's like, yeah, it's good to pay it forward. I'm lucky to be in a position to do so, I think was his quote. So,
and there you go.
Good dude.
Blackhawks Crazy Podcast. I'm Mike Jacobson, WGN Radio. He is Scott King from the Red Eye. And this is the moment that we go into the King's Keys, the keys to the next couple of games that the Hawks need to follow in order to pick up a couple of points. Mr. King?
Key number one, be careful around the crease. And I know that's something you don't want to say to hockey players. Obviously, yeah. Your whole career you're trained to crash the net. But the way the games are being called now and the way the review is right now, until they fix it, don't just go in there and hit a goalie. Because they're taking away goals even after guys push into a goalie. So you do have to watch it a little bit. Otherwise, you're going to see more goals taken away.
And you might give Joel Quenneville a heart attack.
He might need
the third time it happens.
He might need a surgery in the middle of a game. Yeah. And key number two, stay out of the box. Last time they played Dallas, they have the rematch coming up tomorrow on Thursday. Last time they played Dallas, they did win 5-1, and that was despite going to the box six times for minor penalties. So imagine what they can do without going to the box so much. So be a little more disciplined. Dallas can be looking for revenge. Again, they won 4 out of their last 5. Should be a great matchup.
King's Keys. Hot takes coming at you right there. Burning, scalding, don't get too close. Takes from Scott King from the Red Eye.
A little more trivia for you. Did you know that before Chris Farley died, they had written a baseball movie that Sandler, Rock, Spade, and Farley were going to do?
Really?
That would have been awesome, huh?
Did it turn into like that Grown Ups movie,
essentially? No. I'm hoping that's an entirely different movie.
I would hope so.
Grown Ups 1 was okay. Grown Ups 2 was terrible.
I never saw either one of them.
It's all right.
I feel like Sandler's movies have just really taken a dive.
He takes more of a hit than he deserves, but they're not. You have to at least say that Big Daddy was his last good movie. You can't. Click was good.
Click was emotional.
Yeah.
I hate the part with his dad.
Yeah, right.
So did me
and my buddy. It's tough to watch, but
it's a tearjerker.
You gotta love Sandler.
Yeah. Oh yeah. I mean, and the guy's done pretty well for himself, I would say, because his movies, even if they suck here, they always kill overseas.
Yes. Just
always.
Like his Netflix one, everyone's watching everywhere.
Yeah, this Netflix one.
Ridiculous Six.
Thing too. So before we wrap things up here, we always like to get your questions in, and you can give us those questions and or any comments that you would like to make about the podcast at our Facebook page, the Blackhawks Crazy Facebook page, or you can enter them via Twitter using the hashtag Blackhawks Crazy. I am at Jacobson Radio, by the way, on Twitter. He is at Scott King Media on Twitter. The first one comes from Eric Zent, and he said, thoughts on the two disallowed goals in back-to-back games, which they were supposed to be goaltender interference, good calls or not. Thoughts on the coach's challenge. Now, we've basically talked about this for the majority of the podcast. I thought both goals should have been allowed.
Exactly. We could just sum it up now that I agree with Mike. I think both goals should have counted. I think much like the illness and missing out on the All-Star game because illness or injury is a gray area. It needs to be more black and white. I think you need to make this not so much a subjective thing where you give the official reviewing it total power, just like when they say they lose sight of a puck and can blow the whistle. You know, that takes kind of all the pressure off them. They can kind of just do whatever they want or say whatever they want. So it needs to be more black and white, and yeah, they both should have counted.
We got one more question that we can squeeze in here because we might have some people kick us out of the studio. Maybe not.
Drag us out
someone.
Here.
Yeah, they're peeking in on me now. I got this till 3. Dang it.
Talk to our lawyers.
It's from Keith Zednik, and he says, I'm concerned with face-offs come playoff time, especially with Anisimov. Love every part of his game, but this is one area that he doesn't do that well, and we alluded to it earlier.
Yes, we had a big tease on this. I have some good news for Keith here. Actually, Anisimov last night won 15 of 21 face-offs, so he was 71% on the dot last night. So, yeah, I understand. A little concerned. He's been so good in every other aspect of the game, especially his game. But he might be on the up now. That's a really strong faceoff percentage. They did win a lot of faceoffs last night. I think Taze was 61% too.
Yeah. So
he'll improve there.
So we'll see what happens there. Before we let go too, I wanted to kind of give a quick look at the standings because the Blackhawks obviously have a Central Division foe coming in tomorrow in the Dallas Stars. And once again, I'm wasting time because my computer is so freaking slow right now. But here we go. So the Blackhawks are in first place, which we all know, comfortably in the Central Division, or they were more comfortably. Yes. Now they are at 76 points. Dallas is at 73 points. St. Louis is not that far behind at 69, and then it kind of starts dropping off with Nashville at 58, Colorado at 58.
It's a big game tomorrow. Dallas is swatting at their heels.
Yeah. So, I mean, it was – they had their lead was – much more significant.
Yeah, at least five, I remember.
Yeah,
recently.
It was at least at 5. So, I mean, you get it down to 3 and you end up losing tomorrow. You're getting it down to 1. So, I mean, you got to – it's a big one tomorrow. And you know, we're getting close to getting 60 games into the season here. Mm-hmm. These are going to start counting more and more.
Hopefully a healthy Panarin tomorrow. That'll help spark some things, create some momentum. Gotta go on from there.
Hopefully this bread man has some soup.
There's always room for bread.
A bread bowl, perhaps. Love a bread bowl at a Panera.
Who doesn't?
It's really good.
He needs an endorsement like yesterday with Panera. I don't know why no one has done it.
If he could speak English.
Says he can. He just doesn't want to.
Yeah, well,
no one likes talking to media. I was going to say,
you could use that to your advantage.
Right.
So, who knows? We'll see if the bread man comes back tomorrow. Hawks and Stars. You can hear that right here on WGN Radio. Pregame beginning at 7 o'clock with Judd Surratt. The puck drops at 7:30. With John Weideman and Troy Murray. I am Mike Jacobson, WGN Radio. Thanks again to my co-host, Scott King, from the Red Eye. We'll see you next week for episode 17.